Welcome, and thanks for joining us for the weekly podcast of Center Church San Diego. We are so happy to connect with you online today. You matter to God. You really do. Whatever your past, no matter what your circumstance right now, God loves you. And you belong right here. Hope starts now as we invite Christ to take his rightful place at the center of our lives. So let's jump in.
Welcome to week number 3 of Dialed In. It is January the 21st. We're in our just finishing up our third week of January. So you know what that means, right? It means that the lines at the gym are going to be going down significantly tomorrow. Okay? Because actually, statistically, about 70% of people have quit their New Year's resolution by now. So the treadmill is going to be a lot more empty tomorrow. The bad news is the donut line at the donut store is going to be really long. So it just kind of balances out. But we are here in week number 3 of Dialed In, and we actually have a grand finale tonight. We've been talking about it here for a couple of weeks. It's happening. It's a worship and prayer experience. It's actually going to be happening at my house. I'd love for you to come over, and we're going to be celebrating communion together as a church. We're going to spend some time in worship and music, some time in corporate prayer. It's really going to be a cool thing. We even have a cool prayer experience for your kids, fifth grade and under as well, which is kind of cool. So be sure to be with us. That happens tonight at 7 o'clock. You can get the details on our Facebook page and the directions and all that stuff. Won't bore you with that. But we're going to keep the whole thing tucked in at right about an hour because we know it's a school night. And quite honestly, it's just a selfish act on my part because my kids go to school on Monday morning. If I keep them out too late, it's just not a good situation. So, you know, we are aware of that, but it's going to be a great time together. So come hang out, bring a sweatshirt. We're going to be outdoors a little bit, But we have started each week of this series with kind of a theme passage of Scripture in John chapter 10. And I want to draw your focus there one more time. The words will be on the screens if they're in your app and your outline, stuff like that. But these are the words of Jesus in John 10, starting at verse 3. It says, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice." Jesus uses this word picture of us as people, like sheep, listening to him and becoming familiar with his voice. It says that he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. What that means is that God is speaking not just to people, sort of big P, like in general, like God's talking to the world. What he means is that in fact, he knows your name individually and that God wants to speak to you. That's actually a really cool thing. And then in verse 4, it says, "When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice." Would you underline that last little phrase? They know his voice. We have a speaking God, everybody, okay? It's actually really, really cool news that God is speaking to us as people, as an individual. He knows your name. He wants to speak to you. But one of the things we've said from all across this whole series the last 3 weeks is that God, in fact, doesn't have a speaking problem. We have hearing problem. As individuals, we oftentimes have a listening issue. And so today is going to be all about recognizing God's voice. Recognizing his voice. Now, we are all pretty much products of a caller ID generation. I'm guessing that you use or avail yourself of caller ID virtually every day of your life. Every single time somebody calls you. My kids have no concept of life before caller ID. Zero. Like, they don't understand that was, like, at one point, the technology made you completely ignorant of who was calling you on the other end of the phone, right? And they are a cell phone generation. Now, how many of you guys remember the very first cell phone that you ever had? Okay, come on. All right. How many of you guys had a Motorola flip phone? Okay, how many of you admit it was pink? Admit it. Okay. How many of you guys, like, your first cell phone was like the size of a toaster, okay? Yeah, right. You're going to have, like, weird growths coming out of your head when you're, like, 70 because you're microwaving your head that entire time. But my kids have no concept of what life was like before we had these cell phones where we actually, if you had a phone in your house, it was connected to the wall. That's weird, I know, but it was on the wall. And then the phone actually had this weird, like, curly-Q-like cable, stretchy cable. You guys have that? Remember that? Some of you guys still have that in your house. It's like, welcome to 2018. Get a cell phone. But my mother-in-law actually had, like, 100-foot cable under, like, the stretchy cable so she could walk into every room in her house. Okay, that's how it had to happen before the very first versions of the like wireless telephones, not the cell phones, but like the wireless ones that you had to like pull the antenna out like a walkie-talkie. Did you have one of those? Right? Like, but my kids have no concept of this because now everything is cell phone, everything is caller ID, so they never have a question of who's calling on the other line. It's like, oh, dad's calling or mom's calling. But here's the thing: is that If my wife were to call right now, I'm glad I have my phone on mute because anything could happen, right? But if my wife calls, it'll say, you know, incoming call from Jen. Now, do I need caller ID in order to identify my wife's voice? No, I don't. Right? It would be helpful for you if I gave you my phone, like, oh, it's Jen. 99.9% of the time, you answer it, and it's going to be Jen on the other line, right? But if I were to cruise over to your house and you've got the cool old school phone with the stretchy cable on the wall and I answer the phone and on the other end is Jen, she's not going to have to say, hey, Marcus, it's Jen, right? All she has to say is, hey, babe, and I recognize her voice. Why do I recognize her voice? Because I am familiar with that woman. I'm very, very familiar with that woman. I would know her voice anywhere. I could walk into any mall in America. I can recognize her voice 14 stores away, right? And so can everybody else, right? Because I have just grown familiar with the sound of that voice. I would know it anywhere. Now, I don't know about you, but I kind of wish God had caller ID sometimes. Because even when I like really want to hear his voice, be led by his voice, wouldn't it be nice if there was this way for us to get like caller ID to give us the clue up front, like, hey, this is who I am and this is what's going on. How do I know that it's God speaking to me? What does his voice sound like? And last week, Jen talked about the whisper of God, the still small voice, and the character of how God speaks to us a lot. It was a great talk last week. If you missed that, you can grab that on the podcast. But today we're going to be looking at kind of the telltale signs of how I can know that the voice that I might be sensing is that sort of leading me in a direction. How do I know that that's God? And this recognition is built on familiarity. It's built on becoming familiar with how he speaks, becoming familiar with his character, becoming familiar with his voice. And so it's not just about believing what anybody might tell you might be the voice of God in your life. And a lot of times, if somebody comes to you and like, hey, this is what you need to do, it's like, God wants you to do, dot, 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 dot. We always have to be real careful with that. Because that's a thing we can easily manipulate. And the fact is that not every voice that you hear that is even attributed to God is in fact God's voice. So there's plenty of competing, even counter messages that we need to be able to identify. And I want you to look at 1 John chapter 4. John writes this, the Apostle John, he says, "Dearly loved friends, don't always believe everything you hear just because someone says that it's a message from God." He says, test it first. Circle test it first. Test it first to see if it really is, for there are many false teachers around. It's funny how sometimes we want to put our own personal opinion into the mix in someone's life, telling them what they knew. And some folks have a habit of saying, God told me, dot, dot, dot. And what it's actually code for is, I just have an opinion that I really, really want you to do. And I'm going to attach this sort of super spiritual thing to it to make it even more important in your life. Or sometimes we can rationalize things that we really want to do on our own, and we rationalize it that that's what God wanted to do because I prayed about it. I had a guy come to me one time. This has actually happened to me more than once. I had somebody come to me one time, and he says, you know, I was praying about this. God spoke to me, and I've really kind of wrestled with this situation in my life, but I really feel like it's God's will now for me. And I said, really? Wow, what's that? And he's like, well, God told me that I need to leave my wife of 20 years and I'm going to begin a new relationship with this other woman that I've started kind of really liking. And I prayed about it and I really feel like it's the right thing for me to do. I said, can I just like let you know that you've completely missed Jesus? That's not God. He's like, well, I prayed about it. I'm like, I don't know about that. But that's not how God speaks. You're actually attributing to God something that he has already gone on the record that he's not down with. Okay? So you don't really even need to pray about that anymore. You've completely missed it. And it's one of the reasons why, you see what I mean? We kind of get loose with language a little bit. Like, well, I prayed about it, so God told me. When really all it is just a rationalization for ourselves for us to go do whatever we want to do. And what this guy missed is the Jesus caller ID. And it's like, actually, that was unknown caller, bro. It's like the way when God dials into you and you start getting a message from him, it has telltale signs. You can spot him a mile off. And I want to give you a few kind of helpful tests. You can kind of create a caller ID structure for yourself as you're listening to the voice of God to know if it is in fact actually him. How do I tell that the prompting that I'm sensing is actually Jesus speaking to me and not bad pizza from last night and I've just got indigestion? Right? How can I tell? And here's a few that I want to give you. Here's letter A. Does it line up with the Bible? It's the very first thing you need to ask yourself. Is this sense that I have of God's voice in my life, does this line up with what the Bible says? Because God's voice to you will never contradict his word. Ever. It will never happen. He's not going to say one thing in the Bible and then come along and change his mind for you. That's not how it works. Okay, I am asked all the time about various life topics, issues that people are going through, struggles, proclivities. People come to me and they'll want to know what my opinion on that topic is. And I understand that. Like I do kind of get that. I don't mind people coming and asking me. But you know, every time that happens, the same thing occurs to me every time. It's like, Why do you want to know my opinion on the subject? You've met me, right? I mean, like, I've got opinions on lots of different things. They're almost always wrong. You know, like, why do you want my opinion? When the reality is what you really need to do is dial in, what's God's opinion? What's God think on the whole thing? Irrespective of what our opinions are or whatever sort of the common way to go about stuff is, like what the prevailing wisdom might be, what does God think? Because we already know, since God is the creator, he has created us, wouldn't it stand to reason that the guy that created us gets to call the shots on what's right and what's wrong in the way we behave and what we think and in how we speak? It's like he gets to call the shots on all that stuff. And he already wrote down his opinion. So we don't have to like go and wonder and sort of like, you know, get the radar up and feel like beep, 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 beep. It's like, do we have an idea of what God's already written it down in his word. He's already given us some clear direction on it, and his word doesn't change. Jesus said in Luke 22:33, he says, and though all of heaven and earth shall pass away, yet my words remain forever true. Forever true. So if it was ever true, it's still true. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. His word remains forever true. And so if the voice that you hear, the prompting that you sense, if it doesn't line up with God's word, it's unknown caller, baby. That's not the caller ID of God. And so we can't, too, just kind of go in. We really sort of want to do a particular thing and then go and mine into the scripture to find this one little fragment of a scripture out of context to justify what we want to do. That's called proof texting, and it's a great way to really screw up yourself, okay? What we need is what theologians call the whole counsel of God. It's actually taking the scripture in its totality, the love story that God wrote to his people, and saying, what is it that God has written down because his intentions for me are good? He loves me a lot. What's the owner's manual say that the creator of you and me has already written down for our best? Does this line up with God's word? Here's letter B. Will it make me more like Jesus? Will this thing that I'm feeling, if I follow through with it, is this going to make me more like Christ at the end of the day or less like him? Because when I surrender control of my life to the Lord, He actually empowers you and me to become more like Him. And we need to be growing in that all the time. It's one of the reasons why we talk about growth track so much. You might get sick of us talking about growth track. If you've been around for a while, it's like, when's the ball guy gonna ever shut up about the growth track? And the reason that I'm so committed to it is because this is how we grow to be more like Jesus. Well, if you've never been through it, you really should try it. It's how we can help you know God and find freedom and discover purpose and make a difference. It's why we talk about groups so much around here. And we're in a season right now where you can actually get connected to a group. It's so vitally important because growing like Jesus actually happens in community. We need that all the time. And so this thing that I'm sensing, I wonder if it's God. Like, what's the Jesus caller ID? Tell me. If it makes me more like Jesus, that sounds like something God would say. What will be the fruit of this step? What will be the fruit of this decision? Because God's leadership in my life always produces good in my life. Okay? Let me say that again. God's leadership in my life always produces good in my life. If the fruit that you see is not good, unknown caller, bro. Look at what James 3, verse 17 says. It says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. And he begins to give us kind of a list of the things to look for when it's got Jesus on it. It says, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Will my response to this voice that I sense, will it make me more like Jesus? And if so, then it sounds an awful lot like God. That's familiar. Here's letter C. Does godly counsel agree? Is there godly counsel in my life, and does that jive? Are they in agreement with me about what I'm sort of sensing? Because there's power in agreement. There is power in agreement. We have an incredible pastoral staff here at Center Church. We have a council of elders here at Center Church. You may not know that, but there's a group of people who are experienced and mature in the Lord who speak into decisions that get made around here. Because I don't make decisions in a vacuum. I don't make big decisions about my life without seeking out godly counsel to speak into it, whether it's at the church, in what we're doing here as a ministry, or in my own personal life. I want to hear the voice of God and be led in that way. And I seek out other godly counsel to be like, hey, does that jive with you? Are you seeing the same thing? Is there agreement that this prompting that we seek, it's got Jesus on it? Proverbs 19, verse 20 says, listen to advice and accept discipline. And at the end, you will be counted among the wise. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. Some of us need to avail ourselves of a little bit of godly counsel and advice. And this can be a hard one for some of us because godly counsel doesn't tend to just come and ring your doorbell at 2 a.m. It doesn't fall out and knock you in the noggin like an apple out of the tree, right? We actually have to seek it out and open our heart to hear it. And I wonder how often you catch yourself just trying to make it through your life and do the best you can. And you do it all in the confines of your own sort of perspective and knowledge. The problem is that you don't know what you don't know. Nobody does. And what godly counsel actually enables us to see is sometimes the blind spots in our life that we weren't aware of, didn't see that one coming. Oh, that's a perspective that I hadn't actually considered. Hey, that's actually something true about me that I knew that I just didn't want to admit. And it actually helps to grow us and helps us stay on track toward the direction that God is actually, in fact, leading us. I did this past week. I sat down, I called up a mentor pastor friend of mine. I called him up and I said, hey, would you be willing to take an hour out of your day? I will buy lunch. Can you carve out the time to sit down and meet with me? And he graciously agreed, and we sat down, and I submitted my life to his review. Now, I got to confess, I don't do this often enough. But I submitted my life to his review. He's older in the Lord than me by probably about 20 or 25 years. He's got more experience than me. He's better looking than me. He's got it all going on. And I went and I sat down with him, and I'm like, what do you see in me? Got like brass tacks. I want you to tell me. Here's a couple of things that I'm thinking. What do you think? I had a whole list of questions that I went into asking him. I asked him questions like, who do you know that I should know? And he kind of laughed when I asked him the question. But I was being genuinely honest, because I don't know what I don't know. You're further down the road than me. You're a man, you're a godly man. What do you know that I should know? Because I don't want to go in thinking that I've got it all together, because we don't. And the moment that we delude ourselves into believing that we do is the moment that we stunt ourselves from being able to take a next step. Proverbs 24, it's not in your outline, but it says that victory is won through many advisors. Now, who doesn't want victory in their life? Well, it's won through many advisors, okay? And what I have found is that God confirms his voice to me through that kind of godly counsel. So here's my question. Who do you need to make a call to this week and take him to lunch? Who do you need to sit down with this coming week on the phone or over a cup of coffee and just say, hey, what do you see in me? Who do you know that I should know? Like, this is kind of what I'm thinking. Does that seem like it's got any Jesus on it? Because I want to be a life that is led by godly counsel. It's another great reason why you need to be in a group. Because you need other input and other like voices to help bring some of that counsel into your life. To not just sort of do it on your own. It's one of the reasons why Growth Track is great. You can get connected to a ministry team, get connected maybe to some leaders around here that have a little bit more experience or a little bit different perspective to help you have some godly counsel in your life. We all need it to dial that in our relationship with God. And then here's letter D, the last one. Do I have peace? Do I have peace? I start to listen to this voice. I'm moving in this direction. Is the result that I have peace in my heart? Because you know what one of the most fundamental differences between Christianity and any other world religion is? It is, among other things, it is that we do not worship a God who is far off. We worship a God who comes and takes up residence in our hearts. Okay? So, I don't know where you're at in sort of a spiritual journey. There's people all across the continuum. But if you have decided to invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart, the Holy Spirit has already taken up residency in your heart. So actually, we get like a direct line to the voice of God in our life. And when he speaks, when God is present, when God shows up, his peace always shows up. It is the nature of who God is. It's like the telltale sign. When that begins to arrive, you know God showed up. And conversely, when there's tons of anxiety and panic and distress, you can also know that that's in fact not the fruit of how God operates. He never speaks to us like that. I have confronted, like you, I'm sure, a ton of like hardcore decisions in life. Sometimes scary, sometimes risky, sometimes, you know, the knee-knocker decisions of life. Okay, we've all gone through them. I can tell you in the decisions that I have truly heard the Lord and I have been led by him every time. Doesn't matter how scary the thing might be, I have always sensed his peace come on me when that goes down. Now, I have also made plenty of decisions when I did not handle myself that way. Okay? This is not sinless perfection up here. I'm just a fellow struggler on the journey. And I can tell you, about a year before we planted Center Church, so what's been about 5 years ago now, I made a decision thinking that I had heard the Lord, wanting to believe I had heard the Lord, okay? And I made a decision and some actions that were actually a lot more ego-driven, a lot more pride-centered than I would care to admit at the time. So I'm being ultra-spiritual. I prayed about it, okay? But the moment that I acted and I stepped across the threshold of that decision and that doorway, I knew as soon as I did it, I have missed the Lord. I remember very well, I made a decision in the evening and tried to go to bed and I couldn't sleep all night long And I was going to say I woke the next morning and told my wife, but in fact, I didn't even sleep. And the next morning, I told Jen, I said, the decision that I have made is not the right decision. She said, how do you know? I said, because everything in every fiber of my being right now is telling me, as like I've walked through this doorway, and on the other side, all I fear, all I feel in my heart is fear, is panic, is anxiety. It's as though I'm looking out on a gray nothing. It's blah. I walked through the doorway and I said, the Lord's not here. I'm backing up. How do I know that? Because I had grown familiar with how he operates. So I begin to recognize when he's not there. And when he is there, his peace is just present all the time. Philippians 4, not in your, it's just free, okay? It's not in your notes. It's just sprinkles on the donut. But Philippians 4 talks about the peace of God that transcends all understanding. All of the ways that we do math in our own mind, that it transcends the way that we think, and it guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. When the voice of the Lord shows up, his peace always comes with it. It's his caller ID. That's great news for you. In fact, I think back on the time that I walked through that threshold and experienced that anxiety and I experienced that worry, and I knew right away the Lord is not here. I actually think back on that moment now with some fondness, because in fact, in that moment, God was being gracious to me, teaching me, saying, look, that in fact wasn't me, and you backed up at just the right time. Do I have peace? So we recognize God's voice by making sure that it lines up with God's word, by asking ourselves, does this make me more like Jesus? Does godly counsel agree? And do I have peace as a result? That's how we recognize God's voice. But here's the kicker, is that once I learn to start recognizing God's voice, it begs the next question, which is not always yes. And that is, now am I ready to respond to what God has said to me? When I begin to recognize that that's him, am I willing to do and move in action in the direction that he has actually invited me to take? And I think that's actually, in fact, more important. Are you ready to respond to take action? And so here's where I wanted to leave you, because to me, this is where the rubber really starts meeting the road. We become a church that's like really, really good at recognizing the voice of God, yet a church that is completely demotivated and unwilling to actually do what he says, what have we accomplished, in fact? That's why it's way more important that we not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. That's what the scripture says. And so I want to leave you with three kind of thoughts to help you respond to the voice of God in your life, because I don't know about you, I want to be a person who's ready to respond once I hear the voice of God. You with me? Here's the first thing you can do. Number one, tune into God every day. Tune into him. To take time to dial in your conversation with God every day. And that might look lots of different ways. That might be times of just getting quiet with God. One of my favorites is just taking some time in the car and listening to music that focuses my attention on him. Taking time to read his word and pour his word into my heart to know more about him. But can I just tell you, all of these different kind of spiritual disciplines have got to be balanced well, because sometimes we get it in our mind that if we just get like really strict on ourselves and we get ultra regimented and turn it into a religion, that will be what we need. And in fact, reading the Bible is really not so much the point as it is to discover the person behind who wrote it and inspired it. The Bible was intended to be God's love letter to us so that we could know him, to become familiar with his character, become familiar with how he operates, to know our story in the context of his promises and purposes for our life. That's what we're keying in to go and do. And the spiritual disciplines are just tools to help us tune into God. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 4, he says, when he gets them all out, he leads them and they follow him because they're familiar with his voice. Tuning into him every day just makes you familiar with his voice. to where I start automatically sensing the caller ID when it's coming in. I know who he is. You got to take time out to dial it in like that sometimes. That's why I'd love to have you come to my house tonight. Okay? There's nothing magical about it. Just take an hour, spend a little time. We're going to have communion together. Spend some time talking to God. Spend some time connecting to him in a moment of worship. And just, what better way to start your week than that? We tune into him every day so that we can become familiar with his voice and follow him. Here's the second one. We got to tune out the things that oppose God. So I'm tuning into him every day, but then this other part is I got to start to tune out the things that oppose him. You have to actively shut down the voices that are contrary to the voice of God in your life. And I'm guessing you know what they are. Okay, if you are a follower of Jesus, like I said, you have already been given the Holy Spirit of God in your heart already. Okay, you got the direct line that's going on. But there are competing voices to the voice of God in your life. Here's the thing that's challenging to me when I think about it, and I'll challenge you. How much do you allow the voices that compete with the voice of God to have a prominent place in your life? How much do you let the voices, the counter voices in your life, to get so loud that they compete with the voice of God in your life? And you just chalk it up to, now I can handle it. I know, see, I'm mature enough to deal with that. But it affects, like, what do you allow yourself to listen to? And you know it's not the voice of God, but you just crank that volume up, no problem. What do you allow yourself to look at? And you let yourself off the hook like, I can handle it. I'm good. What do you allow yourself to do? You spend time marinating in culturally that's actually opposed to the voice of God in your life. And the fact is, you don't even care that it's influencing you in that way. Now, I just got like really quiet in here, like all of a sudden, and I just want to let you know, like, I'm not mad at you. We're all in the same boat here. But the truth is, there are all kinds of competing voices to the voice of God in our life, and we need to get better at tuning out the stuff that's taking us in the wrong direction. And if there's stuff that, in fact, is not the voice of God in our life, but we're just chalking it up to, I can handle it, what we're actually running the risk of is something that should be alarming to us, but it isn't anymore. We should be running from it, but we're not anymore. We're just cool. And it's profoundly impacting our lives. Jesus said in John 10, verse 5, he says, they won't follow a stranger's voice, but they'll scatter because they aren't used to the sound of it. See, that's a follower of Jesus that's so tuned into him that when the competing voice comes in, when the stranger's voice comes in, they're not cool with it. They run from it. Because they're running toward the master. They're running toward the shepherd. They're running toward the life-giving word. They're not letting the other thing get dialed up too loud in their life. Is it around somewhere? Sure. But they're taking time to tune it down. They're tuning it out. And so I'd like to encourage you to do a little bit of self-inventory here today. Kind of check yourself a little bit and get honest and go, like, you know what? There's things that I've just kind of gotten cool with. I've indulged and I've just sort of let it happen. And I laugh about it with everybody else, and I'm just sort of like everybody else. Or I watch this, or I listen to that, or I experience this or that, maybe when nobody else is looking. And it's actually a voice that I should be running from. What is that? Tune out the things that oppose God. And then here's the third one. We take a trusting step of obedience. A trusting step of obedience. Because God doesn't have a speaking problem, I have a listening problem. But what draws me toward a better place in Jesus is when I make the decision to say, I'm going to take a trusting step of obedience. Why? Because his intentions for me are good. I take a step toward him because his love for me is good. I can take a trusting step of obedience toward him because his grace to forgive me is good. God, what do you want from me? Help me to take a step of obedience towards you. And so as we close our time today, I want to give you an opportunity to kind of come clean a little bit with Jesus, okay? And I'm not going to embarrass anybody. In fact, why don't we just close our eyes and bow our heads just for a second and actually ask God a couple of pretty significant questions. Like, God, am I as tuned into you as you want me to be? Yes or no? God, is there anything in my life that I need to be running from, not running toward? Is there anything in my life that needs to be tuned out and dialed down because I've gotten comfortable with it and it's not like you, it's not your voice? God, is there any area in my life where you're asking me to take a trusting step of obedience and I'm afraid to do it? Would you help me? Lord, right now here in this moment as I sit in this folding chair, would you forgive me where I need it? Would you restore me where I need a fresh start? And would you speak to my life so that I can hear you? I need the telltale signs of the voice of God in my life. Help me to know it is you and to respond to you when you speak. I do that because I know that your intentions for me are good. Now, if you want in on something like that, and you need that step, you need a fresh touch from God, you need a forgiveness from Him, maybe there's a turn that you need to make right now, I want to pray for you specifically. But would you just kind of slip up your hand and say, yeah, that's me, and I need some changes in my life. Great. Hands all over the place. Good. Come on, lift them up. This is what we need from Jesus. He stands ready to do it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you that you don't scold us and shame us. That there's not one person in here who's got it all together. Not one of us in here. It's sinless perfection. We have all blown it. We've all fallen short. And I thank you today that our request for a fresh start is always met by an emphatic yes by you. And so today, we listen to your voice. We open our heart and say, speak to us, Lord. We ask too, God, you would fill us with faith to respond to you, to not just be hearers of your word, but to be doers as well, and to be in action towards you because you've got something good on the other end for us. And so I pray for my friends here today. Nothing greater than a fresh start in you, Lord. And we receive it from you today. We ask that you would send us out these doors today, not condemned, but invigorated to take a new and a fresh step towards you today because you love us so much. And so I pray blessing, and I pray purpose, and I pray action and intentionality. I pray that you'd help us to go be the light of the world as we walk out these doors today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us today. The question now is, what are you going to do with what you just discovered? Take a step to connect with us in person? Or perhaps choose to support the ministry of Center Church with your financial generosity? Take your next right step and visit us online at centerchurchsd.com. See you next time.